feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting to you live from studio. I am your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me in the studio today, Justin O'Neill of Fair Claims Roofing. Justin.
Hello.
Glad to have you in today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, exciting. We got to talk about a little bit about the story of your company. We're going to do a deep dive on it today. Thank you for joining us here on the Shrimp Tank.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again for having me. It'd be great.
Yep. And my esteemed colleague, co-host today, Mr. Tom Balch. Tom is the proprietor and owner of Saddle River Range. That's that really cool new gun club out there on 1488.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Tom. And, of course, the Shrimp Tank Podcast. Don't forget you can always download a complete replay of all of our shows at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. You can pick up all of our shows on iTunes now as well. And guys, before we jump in, I just wanted to talk a little bit about entrepreneurship. You both have businesses, and of course, we're entrepreneurs here too. We talk to entrepreneurs, we interview entrepreneurs. And I got to say that I don't know if you spun the globe and you landed somewhere in the United States and you had to pick someplace in the United States where you're going to do your business, where else would you want to go besides the Woodlands, Texas?
I can't imagine a better place to be. I mean, we are so blessed to be in this community. It's a great community to not only live in but to work in, and the market here is just it's so accommodating for business owners, and it's all things considered, there are very few places that would tend to give you the same opportunity that you have here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm in the gun business, and what better place?
Texas.
Yeah, what better place than Texas? Maybe Oklahoma, but Texas definitely in the top of that. And in your business, Justin, I mean, with our crazy weather we have here, people have to replace their roofs a little more. So probably a good area for you to be as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Justin's company is Fair Claims Roofing. They've been in business here in the Woodlands area for at least 15 years, right?
Yeah, 15 years this year. As a matter of fact, just a few days ago on April 1st was our 15-year anniversary. So
okay.
we're very proud of that. Yes.
So we're excited about that. We're excited to hear your story. And before we jump into that, let's give just a shout out to the Sam Houston State University Entrepreneurship Degree Program. And we just thank them for being part of the show and giving students the opportunity to learn firsthand from people who are actually in the trenches that are building businesses. You know, some of our listeners are young, aspiring entrepreneurs that want to start a business someday. But many of our listeners are seasoned business owners, and they're looking to go to that next level. So we know that we'll get some nuggets and some things you can share with us in your story, because you've certainly are in a competitive business, and you've been successful for it, not just for a year or two, for 15 years. And we talk about how many small businesses, the statistic is 50% of them do not make it past that 5-year mark. And any thoughts on why that might be? What, you know, why so many businesses fail and you've managed to make it through that period?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of factors, that go into it. Number one, it helps being in the right market. We talked about that before, being here in a community that is usually, even when things tend to be down economically elsewhere, we've always tended to be at least even killer or thriving here in this market. So that's helped a lot. But, even more so, just having the wherewithal to manage the business, to be able to handle your accounts receivable, your accounts payable, making sure you're managing your cash flow, making sure you're managing your profitability. I think so easy, people get into a business and they get in over their head. Are they really good at one thing and they don't surround themselves with the right people to help with something else that they may not be good at? And those things can tend to sink a ship if you're not careful.
Yeah. Now, Justin, I noticed on your bio that you have a partner, Ray Phillips.
Yes. Yes. So, Ray is my business partner and has been a mentor for me for many years. Started work with Ray when I was 19 years old as a part-time roofing estimator, and worked with him and some other partners with another company for a couple years. Ended up coming to Houston from the Dallas-Fort Worth area back in 2001 to run a branch here, and just got the opportunity to be able to move past that company and start our own back then, and it's what we've both been doing ever since. And
So that'll be a shout out to hello Ray. Yeah. A shout out to your partner Ray Phillips. But
yes. So was that the gentleman I met when I came over?
No, it was not. Ray's actually works and kind of manages more in our Dallas Fort Worth office.
Oh right,
so he's there, and I kind of keep everything going here too. We have different roles too. His role is more in operations. Mine's more in sales and marketing.
But, well, that's what I was wondering, and that's why I brought that up, because just a moment ago you were talking about the different roles and responsibilities. So you have a partner, and you've actually identified where each of you have strengths, and you've taken on different roles. And that's, Tom, we were talking about that a little bit earlier in your business. When you don't have a partner per se, and you're just wearing all of those hats, it's tough. And you've done some problem solving by bringing alongside like a fractional CFO to help you in some areas that you could use some equipping, correct?
Yeah, when you're the entrepreneur and you're running the show, that you get pulled in so many different directions that you have to find the right people to help you out. And you mentioned that earlier. And what I did, and I'd be interested to know if you do anything like this, is I have a CFO that I don't need a full-time CFO. We're a fairly small company, but I have a CFO that comes in one or two days a week, and he looks at the books from kind of a 30,000 foot view, and he kind of sets us on a path, and we talk about things, and we go over the books. And do you have anything like that to help you with your business?
We don't specifically, but in a lot of ways, that's the role that Ray has, in the company. Ray is the CFO. He is the guy that's always, neck deep in the books, making sure that, we've always got enough in the accounts that we need to pay our accounts payable, and helps stay on the team to make sure that we're collecting things in the way that we need to on our accounts receivable, and just always managing that cash flow that's so important in businesses, but especially in ours. When you're doing jobs, especially insurance related jobs, which is in this market here in the Woodlands, only accounts for, gosh, maybe 40-50% of the re-roofs we do. We do about half of our re-roof business is just retail. We don't have enough storms regularly enough to justify everyone always waiting on a storm to get a roof. They age and they get to the point where they have to get done, and we still go in and do those where the people pay for them. But on the insurance side of things, or even on the new construction side of things, there's always a timetable from the time that you actually go in and do a project until the time you're actually able to be paid in full. But you experience that cost usually right out of the gate, if you've got good terms and good credit lines, you're buying your materials in a way where you get a little bit of time, but there's always that window of when you're paying, your labor, up front, you may have your material that, you've got a little time to have to actually pay that. But your customer, if it's an insurance job, well, they may have only got part of the money, and then you're trying to work with them to let them receive the rest of their money from their insurance. So there's always this window of what you brought in, what you expect to come in later, and what you've got going out. And he's done such a fantastic job in helping with that and making sure that, we've always been, very solvent and very current, great credits with all of our places. So
you guys do a lot of roofs too, don't you? You have lots of crews going all, and
we do, this market here in the Woodlands is a big market for us. We do a lot of work here.
And so Woodlands and Dallas?
Yeah, we've got an office in McKinney, Texas, that also does a fair amount of work there. And then we also have an office, in Round Rock, Texas, north of Austin, that we do a little bit of work, and we have our own local crews in each place. But on average, we do around 400 roofs a year here in Houston.
Wow.
And that's mostly here in South Montgomery County. I would also say 80-90% of our work is within 10 miles here of our office.
Okay, well, and that business that you're in is very competitive. You mentioned that a lot of people come and go in the business. So how have you managed to keep your business going, and so many of your competitors are here and then gone?
Well, one of the things that we kind of adopted early on is that, roofing companies are a dime a dozen, and it's so easy in this market to be a roofer. We don't have licensing for roofing. So unlike your electrician, you know, or your HVAC guy that you're hiring for home repairs, that at least are a plumber, they've at least got standards they have to upkeep in order to maintain their license. We don't have that. So everything that we do is self-policed. So we decided early on that, you know, we were going to do things a little bit better than what standard is. When you don't really have a standard, the standard tends to be low on building construction, roofing specifically. And, you know, we go out and we try to educate and inform our homeowners, you know, to what all their options are so that they can make, you know, an informed decision to get the best value possible for the work that they're doing. And we also try to affiliate ourselves with as many third-party people. Anybody can sit and talk to you about how great they are or how good a job they're going to do, but it's important to us to try to affiliate ourselves with as many third-party people that also will vouch for us. And
what's an example, say a third-party? What, like, who
well,
do you mean?
Well, for example, you know, we are at certain certification levels with a couple manufacturers where we're one of only 3% with one, 1% of the other that they allow us to be in a, for example, GAF is a big, they're the largest manufacturer of products in North America. They make shingles and, you know, probably 60, 70% of the shingles you see on houses are made by them. Well, they have a certified contractor program and then they have a master elite program. We're a master elite contractor for them. And only a master elite contractor can offer a warranty on our work where the manufacturer not only warrants the products that they make, but they also will give a 25-year workmanship guarantee on our work. So that's the kind of thing that we can use to say, hey, not only are we going to tell you we're going to do a good job, but hey, you know, with this warranty, this manufacturer will not only warrant their products, but also the way that we apply and install your job.
Now, that's a differentiator for sure, right?
Absolutely.
In a market where it's tough to, you know, I mean, you could tough to differentiate yourself. That's a big differentiator.
Absolutely. And even if it's something that people choose that, well, I'm not big on warranties, I don't think I want to pay for that, the fact that they're working with someone that has the ability
credibility
to offer that. Absolutely. It's credibility with that, you know, being, you know, as visible as we can on places like Angie's List and trying to be responsive, you know, with reviews and trying to encourage people to do reviews. I mean, you know, we want to be visible in the community and we want, I mean, in this day and age with, you know, social media and the internet and all these places where people can find out about you.
It can make you or break you, right?
It can. So you do everything that you can to try to have positive things out there. And you do that just by doing the right thing, by treating people the right way. And, you know, if you're doing things right, you don't really have to worry about, you know, what somebody else is saying. But
you guys sound like you're big on quality and the way you run your business and the way you do your work. But do you advertise? I mean, how do people, you know, unless someone says, oh, yeah, I worked with Fair Claims Roofing, you know, unless someone tells their neighbor, you know, how do the people find you?
Yeah, it's multiple points of contact. I mean, it's advertising like any business. You know, it's not any one thing that you do.
And how
well.
How do you advertise?
Most of the advertising that we do, we've got with Cinemark, we're on all the movie theaters here in the Woodlands and have been for a couple of years. So any movie you go see, you're going to see a little 30-second commercial of us, you know, before the movies. And it's here local. It's targeted local because we want to mainly be reaching people that are here amongst the community where we're at because that's where we do most of our work. But other than that, we also do direct mail, you know, from time to time. You know, we've got certain areas that we target that are a certain demographic. And really, an age of a roof, we kind of have gone in and inventoried people that haven't replaced the roof so that we can, you know, send them letters or whatever to stay in
now,
front
of
them.
Now, how do you them. Know when, I mean, how can you, is there, you can buy a list some sort of way? Some
no,
people
you
compile
just,
that? Or?
You go out and do it manually. You go out
oh,
and
my
just
goodness.
Drive through the street and, you know, kind of record the addresses that you can see. The roof looks pretty old. And then, you know, you can look up who lives there on the tax records and send them a little letter. Hey, notice, you know, your roof hadn't been replaced and, you know, if you don't need it now, you're going to need it at some point soon. And we'd love to an opportunity just to talk to you when you get ready for that.
Now, I'm curious from an operational sort of standpoint, because it sounds like you're also, this is another part of your business that you're intentional in, the advertising and mm-hmm. things like that. Do you guys try to budget for that where you say, okay, this certain percentage of last year's revenue is what we're going to spend this year in advertising? Do you do something like that, or is it kind of
to some extent? I mean, we do have a percentage of, you know, that we take of each job, you know, that we kind of put into a pool that we use to help cover our expenses, which include advertising. But we also try to utilize and leverage our position as much as possible to you know, do co-op things with people that we do regular business with that help, you know, support some of those type of efforts as well, which, you know, play a big part in it.
I'm interested in the Cinemark ads you do because mm-hmm. we looked into that as well. We didn't get too deep into it, but You said earlier, Justin, that you get some success from that, but how do you measure that success? I mean, do people actually – do you give a questionnaire? How did you hear about us? Because I find – you know, print ads and stuff like that, it's very hard to gauge whether those advertising dollars are being used for the best uses. With social media and other things, you can measure it immediately that somebody liked your page.
Right. It's, you know, for us, since our business is not a retail business, you know, we don't have someone coming into the store necessarily to buy something. Most of our business starts with a phone call. You know, someone actually calls us and, hey, we need to get an estimate, whether that be for a roof or a repair or whatever. And it's always... You know, the people that answer the phone, that's the question they always ask, is how did you hear about us? So that we have at least an in-house way of trying to track what works. And what we've even learned further than that is, you know, we may ask somebody, hey, how did you hear about us? Well, I found out from my sister Susie, you know, she used you guys and did a good job, but you go out there to see her and she goes, oh, yeah, I've seen your movie theater commercials, or I've seen you here, I've seen you there. And from an advertising standpoint, you know, it's not... I said this before, it's not any one thing that you do. If I was just doing the movie theater advertising, it probably wouldn't be very effective. But when you do that, you know, in combination with trying to have a yard sign at the jobs that you do, you try to have wrapped vehicles. You know, we've got several, about seven different vehicles that are wrapped, you know, that are up and down the streets. That's visibility, you know, that people see. You know, they may get a letter. You know, it's just all of these things that we want to be visible in the community so that we're on the front of mind, front of thought. When they need a roof, they at least they feel comfortable to know that we've been around, that we're here, and that we're a legitimate company. We're not a fly-by-night operation because, you know, they see us regularly on a daily basis.
You're listening to Justin O'Neill. He is the owner of Fair Claims Roofing. We're going to run to a commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, the radio show for entrepreneurs. And don't go away.
Hi, this is Justin O'Neill with Fair Claims Roofing and Home Services in the Woodlands. If recent storms have left you with roof damage or it just needs replacing, Fair Claims is eager to earn your business. We're separating ourselves from the competition in Montgomery County, known for our top quality work and extremely fair prices. And we have an A-plus rating with the BBB. We repair and replace all types of roofs, both residential and commercial. Whether it's metal, slate, or tile to the basic forms of composition, we're the only call you need to make. Call us today at 281-367-0466. Fair Claims Roofing in the Woodlands, 281-367-0466.
And we're back at the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting to you live from studio. Don't forget, you're going to be able to download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. I'm your host, Daniel Goodwin. Joining me today is Justin O'Neill. He is the owner of Fair Claims Roofing and my special co-host, guest co-host today, Mr. Tom Balch of Saddle River Range. And of course,
never get a mention,
and of course, our lovely producer, Ms. Catherine Bates. And so, Justin, you got a great company. You're an easygoing, soft-spoken guy, but the more I listen to you, the more I'm hearing that you're very structured, calculated, organized. You got a really well-run company. You guys put on 450 roofs in the greater Houston area last year, plus you've got markets in other cities. Are you in a growth mode, or are you... just, you know, looking to kind of keep what you have, a piece of the market share? Or what sort of mode are you guys in, you and your partner?
You know, I kind of have the philosophy that you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. You know, you've always got to be pushing ahead. And part of that means you're always trying to grow in some way. Even if you're not trying to grow your sales, you're always trying to grow as a company in what you do and how you do it to make yourself better. Because there's always, no matter how good you do things, there's always room for improvement, you know, and there's a lot of things that I feel like we do really well, but there's a lot of things that, you know, you see on a daily basis. Well, hey, we should tweak this or we should tweak that to try to make the experience better for everybody involved. But overall, we're kind of at a plateau level. We experienced the last couple years. We did have some storm work that hit here locally that really, you know, made us grow really quick, really fast. And there was some growing pains that come with that with any business, just logistically of trying to take on the extra things that are coming in. And it's allowed us to be able to hire some extra personnel to fill certain roles that have helped tremendously. And fortunately, we've kind of leveled back off where we're at a sustainable level that still supports that. And we've seen that a lot in our business over the last even, say, 7 or 8 years. You know, we saw that when the hurricane came through back in 2008. You know, you have this big, you know, jump. And then you kind of level back down, but your level tends to be at a higher base level than it was before. And then you ride that, you grow a little bit, and then you have another event that kind of spikes, And then when you come back down to your level is at a higher level than it was even previously. So it's been good, steady growth for us. And we've experienced quite a bit of growth in some of the other markets. They're doing a fantastic job there in McKinney and Round Rock and growing those businesses that are there. They're kind of modeling some of the things that have been successful for us here, just on a local level. You know, it's tough when you're, you know, we service Greater Houston, you know, and we'll go, I mean, gosh, all the way to the coast. I've done jobs as far north as Madisonville. But it's hard to really be visible or front of thought or brand yourself and then the greater area. And we've really tried to just, hey, the Woodlands is our home. The Woodlands is where we're at. It's where our office is at. You know, it's cost effective because you're not driving so far, fuel, time, et cetera. So most of our dollars that we spend are here. This is where most of our business is.
I didn't prep you for this question, but I want to maybe put you on the spot a little bit. We were talking about having a partner and how you can kind of divide and conquer some responsibilities. Tom doesn't have a real partner per se, and I don't either. And there's pros and cons in all of this. Mm-hmm. So one of the pros of having a partner is, you know, you have different skill sets and you can divide things up a little bit. Tell me about, for example, with you and Ray, is there ever any, you know, times when there's friction in that and where maybe, you know, it's challenging having a partner?
Oh, sure. I mean, gosh, we're people, you know, so people are going to have opinions and people are going to want to go certain directions. But man, he's been awesome to work with. In a lot of ways, he's been like a father figure to me. He's a lot older than I am. But and starting work, you know, with him at such a young age, you know, he's been a good mentor. But, you know, I've had people describe us as I'm the gas and he's the brakes. You know, he's always kind of the good voice of reason, but I'm also the aggressive, let's go for this, or let's move forward, let's get into something that we may have not done otherwise.
So, and you've been partners for 15 years. It sounds like there's some good simpatico there between you, and that you haven't really had to come to an impasse or butt heads, or that just hasn't come up.
No, not at all. I mean, we've never gotten sideways. I mean, but we've had, you know, discussions where there's difference of opinions where, hey, this is how I feel about a circumstance and he may feel differently. But we always work it out and meet in the middle. And he's always been very, very supportive and, you know, has probably let me do things I probably shouldn't have done. You know, you make some mistakes and you learn from them. But I also feel like we've made some right decisions too that he may have not wanted to make that we're all proud of as well. So
yeah, it's funny you talk about mistakes and how you could really and you should really learn from them. I remember when I was in business school, IBM was real big back then in the 80s, if you recall. And I remember my professor telling a story that they just hired this young kid at a, you know, Harvard Business School to come in and work for this company. And they made him in this person made a major mistake that cost IBM like $7 million. So he came into the boss's office and to tender his resignation. And the boss said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I would assume you're going to fire me after, you know, I just lost a company $7 million. He goes, "If you think I'm going to fire you after I just spent $7 million training you, you're out of your mind." and that is exactly mistakes. You have to learn from them and move on.
Right.
So great point.
Yep.
I have a little personal story that I shared with you a little earlier, but a little unique in dealing with the insurance companies, which is a beast, and I'm sure the regulations and red tape that you have to go through. I don't wish that upon anyone. It's similar to my life in the gun industry with ATF and OSHA and all. But we had a bad hailstorm a few years back, and I noticed all my neighbors were getting new roofs, so I spoke to my neighbors, and they told me that their roofs were damaged, so I called in my insurance company, and they sent an adjuster, and lo and behold, I needed a new roof. So I called a roofing company, and I must have called.
He didn't know you yet, so he would have called you.
Yeah, and like you, like your business sounds, a very honest roofing company, and he came in, he said, "No, you don't need a new roof right now." So I was kind of in a weird situation because I've already been paid by the insurance company to replace this roof. So I let it go a while, and I was getting monthly notices from the insurance company. "Hey, we need your documentation to pay the rest of it." So I finally just got a roofer in there, and he said the same thing. He goes, "Well, you know, you probably don't need a roof right now, but there is some damage, and it's best to get it now." So we went ahead and did it. Is that a unique experience I went through, or is that kind of...
It is unique, but gosh, as subjective as insurance claims are, it's not unheard of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, typically when you have an insurance claim, your insurance company is always going to send their own adjuster to come out and inspect and assess the damage, you know, based on whatever standards or criteria that insurance company has to justify repairs or replacement to that roof. Well, you're dealing with a human factor. So yeah. The human factor is, in some cases, are going to go up and, you know, think they see something that somebody else may not and give you the benefit of the doubt and put on paper that, yeah, your roof's damaged and it needs to be replaced. But it also happens on the other side of that fence where, you know, you may have two or three contractors that look at it and think, gosh, yeah, your roof's, you know, pretty badly damaged. You really should, you know, be getting it replaced because of this storm. And then your insurance company comes out and they don't see it, you know. So it's always an opinion, you know, and a judgment call. And, you know, we just try to use our experience. You know, my experience, as long as I've been doing this, I'll always go out and give someone an honest assessment of what I think. I looked at a roof this morning for a gentleman that, you know, his neighbor had gotten a roof replaced for hail damage. And I told him, I said, yeah, you can see a little bit. But I told him I didn't think it had enough to justify an insurance claim. But, you know, you just have to rely on the people that you're dealing with. But ultimately, your insurance company gets to make the final call unless you just really feel strongly that, you know, there's a difference of opinion there. And there's obviously, you know, steps that you can take to help, you know, pursue a valid loss. But for the most part, I mean, you just, as a homeowner, you want to get informed and, you know, just get multiple opinions. But I would always tend to recommend probably calling a contractor first to look at it before you file the claim, because if you'd have had that same situation, then you wouldn't have been put in a position where you felt like you had to get it done. You could have waited it out and filed a claim the next time there was a storm that came through or something, you know, like that, without having to go through the deductible or expense or the headache of replacing a roof you may have not needed to replace.
Yeah, and during that period of time, like you mentioned earlier, God forbid, I did get a leak in my house and there was other damage, I probably wouldn't have been covered because I had made this claim, they paid me partially for it, and I didn't get the work done in a timely manner.
Well, it's always a blessing, you know, if you're, at least the way that I see it, you know, when you get storm damage, it's never fun to deal with. It can be a pain in the neck if you're not expecting it. But you always kind of get to restart that stopwatch. You know, roofs are only going to last so long. Average life for a shingle roof in Texas is usually about 15 to 20 years, depending on what components are used, et cetera. And that's even for what people perceive as a 30-year roof or a lifetime roof.
The 30, 40-year roof, that's a myth.
It's a myth. The manufacturers give warranties, right? And the warranties that they give are for manufacturing.
If it never rains in the next 30 years. Yeah.
And it doesn't get over 90 degrees.
Yeah, if it doesn't get over 90 degrees, you're good for 40 years on this roof.
Well, it was never intended to be, hey, this is a 30-year roof that's going to last 30 years.
They just call it a 30-year.
It was a 30-year manufacturer's warranty on that shingle, which meant for 30 years, if you had a manufacturing defect, they would pay you a settlement.
And people hear what they want to hear.
That's right. When they market the way they want to market, I mean, it's good marketing to say, hey, this is a 30-year roof or a 40-year roof, or this is a lifetime
roof.
Honey,
why would we need a metal roof? We'll be dead before 30 years, you know? Let's just do that. So, listen, we're in a new business environment with as it relates to regulation. And, you know, let's be honest. I think all of us last fall, we all thought that the Clinton administration would have been ushered in. And now, you know, we've got Trump. We're seeing regulations coming down and hopefully corporate tax rates. What's your thought on if the Trump team called you up, Justin, said, hey, we just like some input from you, Justin O'Neill, down there in, the Woodlands, Texas. What could we do to improve business climate for a small business owner? What would you tell them?
Well, I mean, in my business specifically, overall, as an individual, I tend to lean that less regulations is better. You know, I think the free market should kind of dictate, you know, how you do things and how you regulate. But I do feel like within my business, a little bit more regulation would be helpful. You know, when you don't have licensing or insurance requirements, you're not always on a level playing field. You know, and there's a lot of guys out there that are you know, you're chucking a truck that because, you know, hey, they can go out there and sell jobs usually for a lot less than what it really costs to get things done, because they're not operating in a way that, you know, you have to operate if you want to be legitimate and you want to be here for 15 years. You know, that's one of the other things that I can really say that's helped us be here as long as we are is, you know, doing the right things and taking care of liabilities. And, you know, when you're in business that long, things are going to come up and you have to plan for those and you have to be set up for those. You know, there's a lot of companies out there that they're one big kind of mishap or disaster away from...
Or one accident away from game over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I had a guy that worked for me, and they decided they were going to go out and start their own deal. And the very first house they did, they caught it on fire and burned it down. And so it sounds like
game over.
Yeah. I mean, those are horror stories yeah. that hardly ever happen, but it can happen. Yeah.
Now they're dealing with an insurance company on a whole nother.
Oh,
level.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and this was over 10 years ago. But yeah. I mean, gosh, you never know what can happen. I mean, we've done roofs where we watch the weather like hawks. But I mean, we've tore roofs off with 0% chance of rain and had it rain on them and had to go in and fix all kinds of sheetrock and paint. But we take care of it. You know, that's something that people can have the confidence in hiring us, being a legitimate company, is number one, you know, we're solvent enough to be able to take care of most problems ourselves, but we do carry general liability insurance to be able to take care of those things if they come up. But not every company does, but I think if we had some licensing with just some basic requirements so that and had them enforced, it doesn't do any good to have a license if it's not enforced, to kind of keep out some of the riffraff and some of the storm chasers per se. You know, you get a storm, you get a hurricane that comes in through the Gulf, and all of a sudden you get you know, several thousand companies from all over the
contractors
country.
Coming over from Kentucky.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You know, and they right. do a bunch of jobs, and then, you know, 6 months later they're gone and you got and a leak. And I mean, I replaced several roofs that were recently replaced after the hurricane came through last time, like, where people hired somebody that did such a shoddy job that it had to be redone again.
Yeah. I think there's a nugget in this that people can take away as an entrepreneur, that if you're going to do something, you better do it right if you want to be have some staying power.
Right.
Okay, Tom, you did a lot of work before anything broke ground out there in planning and preparation and engineering, and you know, there was probably 100 different ways you could have shortcut that thing. And Justin, there's probably a lot of different ways you guys could cut corners, but that's not how you end up with a, you know, 15-year history of success. Is you know what, these things you're talking about, carrying the right coverages and all of that, costs money. It's tempting sometimes, probably, to, when you see your competitors get a job that because they got it on price, they underbid you or something like that, and they, you know, it's they cut some corners, but it's a short set of ideas to do that, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you've got to think about things for the long haul, and especially. And that's the real big difference, too, in our industry, is there's so many guys that they can't see past next week, you know, and they do things based on today and this week. I mean, there's been a lot of jobs where you knowingly take a loss because it's the right thing to do, because you want, you know, to be able to, you know, be here a year from now. You want that person to still have a good enough experience where they'll, you know, number one, you're trying to stay out of trouble. You don't want to get involved in any kind of litigation or anything like that, you know, because, you know, you're going to be here. But number two, you know, you want to try to have positive end results, you know, no matter what you do. And because you do that, you know, there's sometimes expenses that you incur to do things that a lot of guys probably wouldn't do because they're not really worried about what's going to happen 6 months from now or a year from now. And it's not that they're not concerned. I mean, there's a lot of young business guys that, man, they just can't see that far down the road. They're thinking about here and now. And you've got to have an
instant gratification.
Yeah, you've got to be able to see the bigger picture and see yourself 5-10 years down the road and how it's going to impact.
That's such a
then.
Can I just ask something really quick? Something's just coming to my mind, and I thought about asking you. How do you feel about solar panels being incorporated into roofing?
There's some cool things that are kind of being talked about
it's
out
very
there.
Very lucrative. It's very hot here.
Yeah, right now, from what I see and what I've, you know, been told, it's just not cost effective at the moment. Right now, the cost to generate that. To me, there's not enough payback to justify the expense that it takes to get in and do that.
For you as your company or as the end? What do you mean?
Just from what I see in the market, right. I can't see for what the consumer would have to pay to get that.
I had a quote recently.
Yeah.
And it was ridiculous.
Do you mind
why you did?
But I'm just thinking, if you were putting somebody's roof in and it was an option to have it done at the same time,
mm-hmm.
you know, that then wouldn't seem so...
It wouldn't, and that's one of the things that you have to think about. I mean, a lot of these solar companies out there, they'll come in and they'll sell you the solar system without really paying attention to the age or condition of the roof.
Yes.
And if you've got a 7 or 8 year old house, for example, you know, well, you don't need a new roof yet, but you're going to need another roof probably in 8 to 10 years.
I've got a 40-year-old house, and it's just like, I don't think you took that into account either.
It could be, but a lot of people have seen the Tesla video out there. I mean, it looks cool as heck. You know, they've got this beautiful looking slate roof, and it's all solar, and you know, they're talking about it's going to be cheaper than a shingle roof. You know, that's
that'll be cool if that
there's
happens.
Some oceanfront property in Arizona for sale too. I mean, it's just. I'd love to see it like that, and I'd love to be an innovator in my industry to be one of the first guys that are able to offer that. But right now, just from what I know about the electrical side of hooking that stuff up, even if the roof itself was on par with what a shingle roof costs, the electrical involvement to have to connect that, store that, keep that, is still going to be a major investment for people. And your average homeowner's not in a house long enough to justify that cost, at least from what I see.
We're talking about cutting edge versus bleeding edge. And before that, we were talking about, Justin brought up a great point that made me think of a book that I read, Jim Collins book called Built to Last. And that book I read because I was so impressed with the good to great, one of the great. In fact, when we come back from commercial break, I want to ask you about maybe a business book that you can think of that's been foundational or instrumental in you building the great company that you have now. So we're going to run to a commercial break. We'll be right back. According to a recent Forbes business article, 9 out of 10 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Ouch! Contact the team at Provident to explore how you can pay only what you are legally, morally, and ethically required to pay. After a simple no-obligation assessment, we'll determine if we can substantially reduce your tax burden, and if so, we'll develop a tax savings plan utilizing our exclusive tax blueprint. Visit us online at providentwealthllc.com or call our office, 281-466-4843. And we are back live on the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting to you from studio. We're with Justin O'Neill, Fair Claims Roofing. My special guest co-host today, Mr. Tom Balls, proprietor of Saddle River Range on 1488. We're covering a big variety of topics. We're kind of all over the map today, but really good stuff. I'm impressed to get to know you and hear your story, Justin, as an entrepreneur. And we were just talking about some business principles and just wondering if you can think of a business book or something that's influenced you or maybe what you're reading right now.
You know, I hate to admit it, but I'm actually not a big reader. I know it's there's a lot of great books out there, and I've had a lot of things that are recommended. Most of the things that I've learned, I've learned through mentorship, through people, through successful business people, and even within my industry. I try to have relationships and surround myself with people that are like-minded, whether it's in the same industry or not. Even within my industry, there's great people here that I've got friendships with that, not necessarily right here in the Woodlands competing with me on a daily basis, but, you know, there are guys that I know of that are across town that, I'll pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, you know, have you dealt with this? What are your opinions about this? You know, what are your thoughts? And then I also, invest time into going to, conferences and educational things that, where all of that stuff's always being, discussed.
Best practices,
yes,
and such.
Yeah, I recently participated a couple of weeks ago in a professional roofing, it's called PRAC, Association of Contractors, but it was organized by CertainTeed, which is another manufacturer, and it was great. I mean, we had about 20 contractors that were there that were, everyone was from somewhere different in the country. And the whole purpose of the 2 days that we were together was to discuss, our business, what we were doing well, what we were struggling with, and how it related to that manufacturer and how they could support us better. But man, I took away a lot of great things. I've got something that I started doing this week in my business that I learned from another contractor that operates in the Northwest that he's done well in his business for several years. But those are the kind of things.
Is that something you share with us?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this was it was in regards to customer retention, and in my business, it's so hard because most people, don't need a roof that often, chances, unless they move and buy a house that has an old roof. I mean, some people go their entire life without buying a roof, if they, depending on how they trade
houses.
How
often they move.
And, with word of mouth, most of our referrals, even with the advertising we do, still comes from the word of mouth. Hey, who do you use? Who do you know? And, we have not done a good job in staying in touch with those customers. I've done the constant contact, but gosh, people get their emails blown up. That kind of stuff gets a little not noticed, in my opinion. And but one of the things this guy did up in the Northwest is he had a deal where he did an anniversary, a happy anniversary card to your roof that he mailed out to his customers
once
on the
a
month,
year, right?
Once a year on the month of their anniversary, just so he had something to stay in touch with them that had his card in it, you know, and it was just a, hey, thinking about you, if you know of anybody that needs a job, you know, let me know. And by the way, we offer free maintenance checks anytime you'd like us to come by and just look things over, make sure things are performing well. And we've implemented that. We went ahead and we're purchasing the cards now. And I mean, it's going to be a little bit of an expense because, you know, 10 years worth of work, it's about 5,000 cards a year we're going to be sending out. But it allows us an opportunity to stay in front of our customers so that when they do get the question, hey, who did your roof? They'll remember because, I mean, gosh, 7, 8, 9 years down the road, if I hadn't, you and I hadn't talked again, you may not even remember. So I want to make sure that we do what we can to stay in touch with our people so that, you know, we can get that referral business, et cetera.
I just had my roof done a few months ago, like I mentioned, and I don't even remember the company who did it. So that's very important.
Yeah.
You mentioned something, Justin, customer retention. Now, my business, retail, that's very important. And the point you made is very well taken. You don't need a roof all the time, but we're in the business of repeat customers, people coming back in. They had a good experience. So Dan's point about business books or entrepreneur books, the book I'm reading right now is called Reinventing the Wheel. And it was written by a gentleman who started a bicycle shop when he was 16 years old and you know, worked it all the way up to now. I think he's got 40 different shops. And it was very intriguing because it's all about customer service. It's all about how do you get them back in by offering, you know, lifetime guarantees on their tires. If you get a blowout, I'll fix it for free. What's that cost them for an inner tube? You know, now you just made an experience for that person that you had this. Because like he's competing against Walmart. Walmart's selling a $80 bicycle and his least expensive bike is $180, so he's got to get them in. Same thing with us. We're competing against the internet and gun sales online, and it's difficult. So it's all about the experience for us and keeping us in the front of their mind like it is with you down the road for referrals more than anything. So that's
absolutely
a great point.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask you if you could share some wisdom and advice. If you had a young, aspiring entrepreneur that you were talking to or mentoring, you spoke about mentoring and how valuable that's been to you personally. But if you were counseling a young entrepreneur who's not yet found the confidence or the validation to launch their product or service, what advice would you share with them?
Well, number one, I would tell them to go for it because, you know, you've got to have confidence in yourself or you'll never make it. And, you know, I even talk to my salespeople, you know, when we have sales meeting about making sure that you present yourself and you carry yourself with confidence. If you don't believe in yourself, people will pick up on that, and you're going to be that much more destined to fail if you're always doubting yourself and doubting your ability. You know, the power of positive thinking is so powerful, and you know, if you're doubting yourself, you've got to get that repressed in some way, because you know, when you're starting out a business, there's no other option than 100%. You know, feet forward all the way, and you've got to give it everything you've got, and there's no room for doubt. So that's probably the first advice that I would give them. And number two is that, you know, if you've got a good product and you've got a good service, you know, that people want, I love the idea of entrepreneurs starting their own business, because I still believe that if you have a good product and you have a good service and you treat people right, and you treat people the way that you want to be treated, it's so hard not to succeed.
That's a great point. Nike summed it up in you know, three short words: just do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I tend to think, you know, I mentioned a staggering statistic about 50% of the small businesses fail, but the way I would tend to look at that is, hey, I got at least a 50% chance of making it, and I'm going to out hustle this other guy over here. You know, that doesn't sound that hard, you know. All I got to do is be above 50%, and I can make it. And then what a wonderful place that we are to do our business here. And Tom, I know Catherine is telling me we got to hurry it up, but you got maybe one more question that you wanted to ask Justin. And I had one more question I wanted to ask you, because golly, this thing's gone by so fast that I did want to ask you, and then we'll save room for Tom for one, or unless you're ready.
No, you're good.
All right. What's at least one positive game-changing decision that you've made in your business throughout this 15-year career?
Gosh, one of the biggest things that we did was when we, you know, you talk about differentiating, and, you know, we kind of changed how we were doing things, because the industry standard was, this, you know, and that's what everybody else did. And for the longest time, you know, that's what we did. And, you know, I learned on that, hey, if we did the same thing that everybody else did, you know, there wasn't anything special about hiring me versus hiring the next guy. When your product's all the same, it becomes a commodity, and the most important thing then becomes cost. And I knew based on the market that, man, more times than not, it's hard to win at just being the cheapest price and be able to make enough to stay in business, you know, to survive. So I knew that we had to find value that gave the customer value, gave us value, and we kind of changed what we were doing, and we started really trying to educate homeowners what their options were instead of just assuming everybody wanted the cheapest price and assuming they wanted the cheapest stuff that's always been the industry standard, which is really not that great of stuff.
You trained your people to pour into, you know, more education?
To sit down with our customers, to let them know when we sit down with a customer.
We typically
spend about an hour. We go through an iPad keynote presentation that's visual, because that's the other thing. You can't assume that people know about your product just because you do. So the more visual things that you can show them to help them make a connection so that they understand what it is that they're looking at and talking about, and help them, you know, navigate their, you know, YouTube education that they've gotten, you know, to really understand what components are going into it, what's normally used and what you recommend and why, and going through all of those things, and then putting the power back into that consumer so that, again, he is an educated person, he knows what he wants in his home, you know, or his business, and he can decide for himself whether he wants industry standard cheap or he wants to say, well, you know what, man, I really like all those things that you're talking about. I want to make sure I get that on my house. And you're the only guy that's even mentioned that to me.
That's a great takeaway. So in a commoditized sort of business, your differentiator is education, which is, and Tom, you got one more, and then
very quickly
Catherine's yeah. Given me
the education is key in your business, because again, you don't have repeat customers. So, you know, sitting down with your customer, telling them why you're different, why you're only going to put a certain shingle on the roof, why your crew has been with you the longest time. That's the stuff that's going to sell. And in this book, real quickly, that I'm reading, I was mentioning, he broke it down to three different kinds of buyers. 30% of the people are buying strictly by price. 30% are buying for an experience or a customer service thing. And then 40% are really looking for a relationship. So if you can't, like he said, I couldn't match Walmart's prices, but I got 70% of the market that is fair game to me, those that I can forge relationships with and those who want a different experience. And that's what he went after. So that's
absolutely
a good stats.
Well, especially with a roof, people are going to buy who they feel comfortable the most with. And the more time we can spend with them, the more that we can educate them, the more we establish that we are indeed the experts. And we also lend that credibility. We allow customers to be able to, man, I've got total confidence in Justin and his team that they're going to do a great job for me, and that it shows in our, you know, results, really.
I can personally vouch for Fair Claims Roofing and Justin O'Neill myself, because I have on my home a Justin O'Neill Fair Claims Roof. Justin, thank you so much for being on our show. It's been a great, fabulous interview. You've had a lot of great wisdom to share with our listeners. And Mr. Tom Balch, Saddle River Range proprietor, thank you so much for coming on to the Shrimp Tank today and being our guest co-host. Don't forget, you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. And don't forget, Justin's show will be on iTunes. So, Justin, just someone as our listener and wanted to get in touch with you about a roof, but also if an entrepreneur that just wants to, you know, check in with you, and maybe a young entrepreneur, how would someone get in contact with you?
Well, I don't mind giving my cell phone number out. You know, my cell phone is 832-875-7663. You can call or text me to that number anytime, and our office number is 281-367-0466. My email is justin@fairclaimsroofing.com. Would be happy to help, or would love to, you know, give feedback wherever is needed or wanted. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, and we will see you here live next week.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank.
doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie keep going. You know the saying, you can reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.